When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is so cool to actually see the studio where this goes down.
Right.
Like, what's going on, man? How you doing? Good. I'm so happy to be here in person. It's pretty cool.
Arch Nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing buddy movies. Did I hear Trevor?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, cool.
I got some news for you, man.
Are you coming out?
Well, no. No. Oh, that sounded bad.
I mean,
bad.
Coming out to New York.
To New York. That's
what I was talking about.
Oh, no, I would love to.
Yeah. What were you talking about?
No. I'm talking about my son got offered a scholarship to go to Central Methodist University to play ball.
Now, how do you feel about that?
I'm fired up. I'm excited. I'm proud of him. I'm nervous for him.
What are you nervous about, Briz? Is it because your baby's leaving home?
Straight up, yeah.
Yeah, like, right. It's a bittersweet thing. You trained him, you prepared him, you raised him, you disciplined him, and you got him ready, and it worked because now he has an opportunity. And this is the part: a good father is like a tear in his eye, but it's a good tear. It's like watching him stepping into manhood, and I think, are you ready? Because you know, I'm sure he is.
I got no choice.
Yeah,
we're both. You know, my son and I have talked about it, and we both know, like, you know, this is the next step. And if I did my job, this is certainly the next step for him. I think my tears are more selfish reasons. You know, when you walk down the hallway. The thoughts of my son not being in my home.
Just coming home for laundry.
Yeah. You know, that's the only thing, man. And it's for good.
How's mama handling it?
Mama's tougher about it than I am.
Because she does his laundry.
right. No, she's the one, like, my wife's college educated. I've never been through that. Like, this is all... Right. To a certain extent, really new to me.
Oh, so what is the saying? The son becomes the father, or the father becomes the son.
Well, I think it's the sins of the father will be cast upon the son. But there's no sinning sins, going on. There's only winning. We're not sinning. We're winning here on the wise men.
It's gotta be an amazing feeling to like know that you got your son in a position where he's. I don't want to use the term exceeding you because he's not, but it's like the path that maybe you thought about in terms of higher education wasn't an option for you because you had to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know, that's you and I both understand the whole coming from not the best childhood and expectations of us being really low. And, you know, we made it to a point where we're public figures and celebrities, but to me, like all of that, like once my son came into the world, like wrestling was priority.
It changes
him, 100%. And I'm very proud of the man he's become and who he's turned into. And he is doing something that I couldn't do. Like and I think. Part of me didn't want to do it. I wasn't a college. That school was not the best place for me when I was in, you know, in high school and in middle school.
But to be for the audience that doesn't know, you did go out and become a welder. So you know you're a master.
Yeah,
welder, so.
I went to trade.
You
school.
Went to trade
That's
school.
Where I felt.
Right.
Yes,
which is a noble
That's
thing
where
to
I
do.
Felt.
Truly, like not enough emphasis is placed
on
that.
What Mike Rowe explained to me was that because you can, you have to destroy something to promote something. Mm-hmm. So, and the push was to everybody go to college, right? Because we needed doctors, lawyers, and architects and all that stuff. So the thing was like, college is great, trade schools are irrelevant. So they basically did away with trade schools to get everyone to go to college. With the idea of when the strainer would, a few would, you know, would fall along the way, but you get, but what their mistake was is that if you ran both, it would have been a lot better, you know, because Trevor's a perfect example of that. Like,
yeah, and as a result, you know, Tyrus's point, we now have a nation that is riddled with what I call educated fools, yep. which are these half-wits that have gotten pieces of paper or degrees, and which, not, you know, bachelor's degrees to PhDs, right, and everything in between, and think that they now, you know, have all the answers. And to what Trevor Paul's going through, I mean, I'm not a parent, and we've joked about this several times on the show, but being very close to this situation, and you know, because we all went through it together when the there was the issue with the coach, and right. And just
there was a after you finished, I want to make sure I say something about that. There was an aha moment.
Oh well, it's even better, right? What a lead in, because now I just, you know, through the observation of it and in talking to Trevor Paul, which we were all there for him and kind of went through it together. Sometimes the good guys win. Right. And out of the blue, where Trevor Paul was at peace with, okay, this is what life's going to look like. He was fine with it. All of a sudden, this opens up. And it's just, that's testament to how he was raised and what a great job you and Amanda did with him.
We are very blessed. He's a good person.
I spent some time on the road with him, and he was a seasoned veteran in life, but well behaved. And we got a picture of your son, my son, and Ego, son, at the Chase, all laying down playing Fortnite together, like on the ground.
That's cool.
And it was kind of a cool moment, you know. Instead of watching us, they're playing video games, sons of. But that's not the point. Like they were, you know, and it was like a cool thing because although my son is tall, he's really tall. He's only 12, and Trevor's son is a teenager, and a lot of times teenagers don't want to be bothered. You know, and he even was willing to get in the ring with COC. And I was a little worried about him because not that he can't – obviously, Paul can take care of himself. That wasn't the issue. It was just my son's so heavy-handed in that clumsy 12-year-old kind of a way. I was like, hey, just be careful, you know, because
– Oh, yeah, don't think Trevor Paul didn't give me the look. He's like, yeah, dang, this kid's strong.
Yeah, right. And he doesn't know what to do with it, so he gets excited now. And I get him in the pool and throw him around and playing around and stuff. Like, it's getting harder and harder and harder and harder.
Has he mastered the Tongan death grip yet?
Yes, but he's a Tongan gentleman.
Okay.
So he's of a higher order.
But I think Pa was working on that with him.
Yeah, he was.
About two years ago. Well, so
you know, it finally came through because I used it to win my world championship from the great Trevor Murdoch.
It's very effective.
Yes.
But let the record show at 75 or 74, sorry. Yes. It's 73. 73, right? Like, the years are just flying by.
I did not get the goozle on him. It was that loss that caused me to go to the tent, to the learning tree where Haku was waiting on me, and he says, crush his throat next time. I said, yeah, he called me a bitch. I'm going to crush his throat.
For him.
And it worked out for all of us.
Crush his jugular.
Yeah, just do what you do.
It all worked out for all of us.
It did. But back to your son now, he's playing baseball, I'm assuming, because he also was getting a look for football too, correct?
No, football, no. He had relegated, like, baseball was his thing. And when he had the situation with the high school coach, which was
tough, but I think he handled it the right way. And I believe, if I remember, I said, this will work out in your favor. I believe I told you that.
Yes. And it totally has. And he had to, it was like a maturity. It was good.
It was a life lesson.
It very much so. And today, and I explained to him, like, when all this came about now with the scholarship and stuff, like, to be humble. You know what I mean?
All of us get
excited. And even at that age, all that testosterone, I'm sure there was a huge part of him that wanted to throw the bird to some people. and just let it go. But I had a big talk with him about being humble and understanding the effects of smiling, saying thank you.
Success is the best revenge.
100%.
But and we should never punch down, but sometimes you got to give the kid one swing away. I think sending an email with a text with a copy of his scholarship going, hey, no thanks needed, coach. Made it on my own. I don't have a problem with that.
Picture plan.
Or you thank him. Like, hey, thank you. You inspired me, and because you what the coach deemed him as a failure, which I have been called the same thing. Everyone on this thing has been a failure or has failed. Otherwise, we wouldn't be friends, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would we? We're always winning. Why would we with these three morons? You know, bunch of losers. <Hey. laughs> Oh, trust me. If I never failed, you guys would never even know my name. I'd be like The Rock in my own locker room.
Same here.
Yeah. Trevor stops by and like, hey, man, we got the same last name. No, yours is a work, brother. Keep moving.
But luckily, life did not hand us.
Trevor is laughing because, you know, when he big leagued me at SmackDown. Well, he was having but listen, I didn't know then what I know now. Because, listen, when young guys walk up to me in the locker room, like, hey, I watched this as a kid.
I hate that. Yeah. No, I hate that. If
you're 42 years old, bro.
If you're a young wrestler and you say that to any one of us, like, there will be issues. Because don't make us feel
old.
It's
not the respect you think it is.
No, it's not.
It's not. And they're lying.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, I'm Funkasaurus out. I'm in a big feud with Aaron, and a 50-year-old man told me he'd been watching me since he was a kid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what? Yeah. What? I'm on the wrong side of 30, bro. You got me by 25 years. What are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. So, but to get back to that point, this is the life lesson, is that there was a time that Trevor and his son thought his baseball playing days were over.
Yep.
Done, because a coach decided he didn't like you, or you were replaceable, or he wanted to go with the other guy, regardless of the fact that you were outplaying the other guy. And I think sometimes that's the toughest thing, or the toughest pill to swallow in anything. And every one of us has dealt with that in wrestling, you know, where you think you should be getting a push, or I'm the talented guy, and I'm doing all these things, but the writers or the boss, whether or whomever, doesn't see it that way, and they don't see you what you see or what you feel. You know, Kevin Dunn with me is a perfect example. Kevin did not think I had the ability to be a star. Just didn't believe in it at all. Thought I was a waste of time and energy. And that's okay.
Didn't you run into him in an airport?
I ran into him at an airport, and he's like, "Hey, Tyrus, I watch you every night." And I was like, "Oh, I'm done, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Yeah." Hey. And I said, "This motherfucker called me Tyrus, Mark."
Bingo.
Because you're watching me, because I'm not watching you. And like I said, that's a moment to where if I would have been, you know, raised by Trevor, I would have humbly said thank you. Instead, I said, "I'm sorry, who are you?" And then smiled and said, "Hey, thanks for watching." But I got my little dig in, because here's the thing: if you're a star, you're a star. It doesn't matter what the situation is. If you're over, as we like to say, you'll get over everywhere. In any situation, because you're a f-ing star. So when one place says no, you can spend the rest of your life blaming them, or you can take their diss and turn it into bliss, as Aaron would like to rhyme. And this is a perfect example.
Diss to bliss, what?
This is a perfect example, because your son was heartbroken. You were ready to fight. You were ready to go down to the school and make it. Now, just for people who don't know the whole story, why don't you give us the short end of it so they know exactly what we're talking about? Because if they haven't listened, I kind of feel like them. But if they're new, if they just, you know, found us under the rock that we hide in, because we don't get to be on camera and stuff like Kennedy's podcast, but I'm not tripping. All good. But, you know. So your son has been playing baseball pretty much his whole life, correct?
Yeah, he's been all the way through, you know, town league, obviously, Trenton, and then the travel ball, and then he led into high school. And, you know, freshman year, just for any freshman, it was a tough year for him. And not getting the playing time that you want, but you guys know as well as I do, that's the motivation to work hard and lean into your sophomore year. He did the same thing, but the coach, the head coach seemed to particularly like to pull him off and put his freshman on there in the same spot my son was. And my son just used that as fuel. Okay. And it just seemed like the coach had throughout the years would kind of focus on my boy a little bit and put obstacles in front of him that he wouldn't do for other people. So his junior year comes up and he went to the coach at the end of the previous year and said, you know, coach, I really want to take my playing to the next level. Tell me what I got to do. So we get ready for next year. I'm ready to go. Coach gave him this lineup of stuff and my son went out and did it. I mean, worked his butt off, focused 100%. We got into his junior year. Now, mind you, this whole time we have purchased my son a program, a collegiate program where he puts his stats, his plays, all his video stuff so college coaches can look at him. Beginning of the junior year, the coach's son is now a freshman and is playing my son, playing his son in front of my boy. And my son is quietly, respectfully, not saying anything. He's just working his butt off in practice. And he's not getting any playing time. So after like the third game, my son respectfully waited till everything was done, pulled the coach to the side and had a conversation with him and just asked him what was going on. And the coach was very aggressive with him and told him this is his team. He's going to play it the way he wants to. And if he doesn't like it, you can quit. My son has never had a coach.
It's tough to hear from a coach.
But he,
as a young man, basically hearing, I mean, I'm just not pulling any punches, basically, f*** you.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I hate saying that because if someone said that in front of TP to me, that's my grizzled vet that couldn't work out with me because he was tired from being on the road with his dad. If that would have happened in front of me, I'm telling you right now, there would have been some repercussions and some furniture would have been definitely moved. I just feel like...
Well, what shocked my son was that he's never had a coach ever in his life go, well, you can quit.
Yeah.
Like in that, and he had mentioned a couple times in practice that that was an option for Trevor Ball, and it
what kind of a coach
started
is that?
To laugh,
right? Like
it's a crazy deal. It's a small town. It's a very clicky. I live in a clicky town, and that's where that kind of played into. I don't fall into that.
Right, but it was difficult for you. It was affecting work. It was and we were all worried about. I mean, basically, your dream and his dream is to wear those the pinstripes or preferably you know a nice Red Sox uniform. He's got the right eyes for it. you know, a brother can dream, but
yes,
he even has a baseball name, Trevor Ball, the bat. Like that's a baseball player's name.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, Trevor. Yeah,
there he is,
Trevor Paul Murdoch. Let's keep the gimmick going.
Yes,
I'm rewatching Eastbound and Down, so I feel like I can kind of contribute to baseball talk. But no, like to
he
me,
started to chuckle a little bit when the coach brought up you can quit, and the coach, what are you laughing at? And he verbally said it to the. I've never had a coach give me an option to just quit, like just be done.
Because that's everything against what it is to be an athlete is to quit. You die. You go out on your shield. One of the toughest things is boxing, is a corner to tell the guy, hey, we're done, because the boxer wants to go out in a shield. He wants to die on his feet because that's the athlete and the competitor. And that's why you have a corner and a referee and a doctor to save the boxer from himself. And that is part, especially young alpha males, like young men who are becoming men. That's a moment where you're taking the dream away in no specific terms because you are so insignificant that the coach tells you, well, go ahead and quit, which means I have no use for you. I'm not going to have any use for you. You're not going to play on my team. You're just filling up a uniform, and you're going to be a practice guy for us. You're going to help my guys who play get better.
It's like getting fired.
Yeah, basically. And you put the young man in a corner to where this is tougher because, one, if he says, no, I don't want to quit, and he humbles himself for this coach and he puts his tail between his leg and goes home with feeling horrible that he just accepted this, or does he step into the unknown and be like, you know what? I don't want to play for a coach like this. So I'm not quitting. I'm firing you. Like, that's the – and he could have easily fell into depression. He could have easily felt like he let his family down. You know, he could have rebelled. He could have, you know, all of a sudden start running the streets. There's so many things that happen when kids are cast out. My 11th grade year in football, I got kicked off the team. Hold it right there. We'll be back in a jiffy.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. USAA. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
So I was getting a chance to start, and I definitely felt I was better than the guy in front of me. And I had was going at the same time I was growing. I grew 3 inches that summer. So I used to get horrible leg cramps. I mean, awful leg cramps. And one night I was up to like 4 a.m. with just cramps. My mom's a nurse, and they ended up giving me an IV and stuff. So the doctor said 2 days without contact, which my high school coach was like, well, if you're not hitting, I don't know if I can play you. So I had to make a choice. Do I listen to what the doctor said or do what the coach did? And so I went to practice, and I practiced. And, of course, I cramped up really bad. I said, listen, everybody. And while I was cramping up, the coach said, well, I told the stupid son of a basically. And so I was mad. And, you know, I didn't have a great home life. I didn't have someone like Trevor that could come home and say, this is happening and this is happening. I just didn't say anything. So then we had our first scrimmage against another school, and I didn't play at all. And I was just like, this sucks. And here's the thing. We had a good football team. So me playing or not playing wasn't going to be a big enough issue for the team to take notice, if that makes any sense.
Like, really?
We had 7 offensive linemen that could play.
So, like, okay, because you played at the NFL level.
Yeah, right? But this is high school, and coaches don't think in those terms. Okay. And so, and you're also raw.
How big were you in high school?
I was 6'7", and still kind of figuring it out. But I could chase the quarterback, and they wanted to move me to the offensive line, and I didn't want to. Like, I was aggressive, and I just, you know, it wasn't my thing. At that time, I eventually learned to love it because I didn't realize how cerebral it would make me, how intelligent I would be, because as an offensive lineman, you need to know everything. But I can remember, and I had a choice to make, and there was a girl who said, well, if you don't want to practice, you can hang out with me. So my, you know, young man body was like, yeah, hell yeah. So where are we going? And we were hiding behind the school, like these portable classrooms. And we were just sitting there hanging out. It wasn't even anything.
The old trailer.
It wasn't even, it wasn't even like, you know, something was going on. You know, I'm a sophomore, and we're just sitting there. And I think at one point, she sat on my lap for a second, and I thought it was the greatest thing forever. And, like, gave me a hug. And then we were waiting till, you know, then at 5 o'clock when the ride comes, then I show up. So I would not be at practice, hide at practice, and then get a ride home. And I think I told my buddy I had a doctor's appointment or something. And lo and behold, my offensive line coach, D-line coach, was walking back to his classroom and saw me sitting there with a girl. And he just laughed, and he said, shh, turn on your gear. You're done. And I had to go home and to tell my my mother and stepfather I had been kicked off the team. And I didn't. So instead of going, I just every day stayed at school till 4 or 5 o'clock sitting on a bench because I did not want to tell them that I was kicked off the team. So, and then eventually the coach, head coach, had a meeting with me, and he was like, eventually I told my parents, they called the school, I'm like, you can't kick him off for that. He's just made a mistake. He's a young boy, whatever. They didn't care. And he said, you know what? You can try out next year. And that was it. It was done. And humiliated. Absolutely humiliated. Had to leave the 7th grade weightlifting class to go to floristry because that was the only thing that was open. And that's where I ended up getting into the confrontation with the Down syndrome guy because he thought I was making moves on his girlfriend. Remember that? I told you that story? Yeah.
Yeah, I recently had a confrontation with person. I'm not going to say that. I told Trevor it, and I'll spare you the expense.
Yeah, but this isn't about Trevor Paul. But the point is like I took it the wrong way, and the hardest thing for me to do was to come back that next year and try out.
But did you?
I did. Of course I did.
And did you make the team?
Yes, I did.
And look how it worked out. Right. Out. So that's
the point where, and that it came from within,
mm-hmm.
because I needed to prove my stepfather wrong that I wasn't just another black loser, because that's all I heard about. You know, he's mm-hmm. just dropped him off in a ghetto with this natural environment. It'd be better.
Oof.
But I'm just saying that's the things Jesus you hear. Christ. So I would take the negativity and I use it to nothing made me feel better than making him look bad. So I instead of falling under that thing where you let them take your self-esteem away, which happens a lot. I mean, and listen, abuse is cold-blooded. I mean, it affects everybody differently. Me, it's just like my interpersonal skills. I trusted nobody. I'm still kind of that way a little bit. But with Trevor Paul's situation, this is why dads are so important. This is why co-parenting, and you and your wife are happily married, been happily married for many years. But even if you're not, this is where like the kid comes first, and you set them up for success to where. And I talked to TP about this, and he was shook up about it, but he had such a good core of positive reinforcement around him, and he did the work, and the next thing you know, this kid's got a scholarship. So now he gets to a whole fresh start to do what he loves. And I think that's, but the lesson is, though, he had to walk through fire a little bit. The only difference is that he didn't get burned, not just because of who he is, because his dad was there with the fire retardant blanket to shield him and guide him. And now he's in a great position, and your selfish ass is crying because he's not going to be every there to get you the beer from the fridge. Yep. It's ridiculous.
Because
that's what I use my kids for. Hey, iced tea. Hey, how well? Hey, kid, make me a boiler maker. Let's go. Dad's waiting.
So there's another side to having kids. Then.
Oh yes, they're free. Huh. They're free help.
Huh. All right.
No, but I wish we could get Trevor Paul. I'd love to hear what he has to say. Is he around or is he out training? Doing.
He is actually still at school, gentlemen.
Oh, that's right. It's today. Yeah. He's. I guess if you're going to get scholarship, you've got to go to school.
He messaged me today from school, and he said, "Dad, I had my aha moment with Coach Hines, which is the coach that that kicked him off the team."
Yeah, basically.
And I said, "Well, call me. You know, I call mm-hmm. me. Don't text me. What happened?" And he said that they were at lunch, and Coach Hines is he's also a police officer in town. So after all that situation happened, it was slightly uncomfortable because I had said some foul words. You know, I don't care if you're wearing a uniform. I don't, you know, I was very aggressive towards this individual.
Yes, I've seen it.
Coach Hines found out about.
Yeah, when Trevor's mad, it's like he emits about a 10-foot radius of like just anger. Well,
his chin grows 4 inches. Yeah.
Why my chin, man? Why couldn't it be my chest?
You know,
something?
And he just gets that, and then all of a sudden his hair is—he's got perfect bangs, parted in the middle.
Oh my god, yeah! And I didn't know that.
He's allowed.
It's like a porcupine. Yes. When things go. Yeah,
yeah. And
I was angry.
One fist balls up, and all of a sudden his voice kind of starts to go like this, brother.
Yep.
I try to channel a little Harley sometimes.
I think you do a fine job of that, sir.
but
you know what, the lesson was restraint, and
for sure,
because here's the deal. Let's say you overreacted, right, and you kicked the coach's ass, right, for disrespecting your son or whatever. He ain't getting a scholarship.
No, and I didn't want to be on a YouTube video.
Like, exactly, but I'm just saying,
we
like
went into the meeting,
somebody hurts your baby because that's what he is. He's your son, but he'll always be your baby.
Yes.
The reaction is to hurt them or confront them, crush them, whatever. Because I would be doing the same damn thing. But I think what's beautiful about this is that you taught your son how to deal with adversity the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And neither one of you started walking around going, well, it's not my fault. It's the coach's fault. The coach didn't like me, so I don't have to get better. He took it the other way. He just, you and him focused on him being better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that's, you know, as soon as that situation, we went to travel ball. We're like, okay, like we'll continue to play without you. But the, you know, he wanted to play for his team. We live in a small town and Mustang Pride, it's the school, mascot and everything. He wanted to be a part of that. He wanted to do the senior walk.
Yep. And he earned all those things
with his mom and dad. Yeah. And it felt like that coach wanted, you know, just took all that away from him. And, the fact that he stuck with it, but then realized that maybe that wasn't in his future, but luckily his hard work spoke for him to somebody else. He's gotten, you know, now he's got the offer at Central Methodist University. And today that the same coach that kicked him off the team went up to him and to congratulate him on a scholarship. And he just said, thank you. All I needed was one person to believe in me and not give up on me. And he walked away.
Game, set, passes.
Hit the music.
Yes, sir. And I had, you know, gentlemen, it was
and
like
you know
a
what?
Promo.
I appreciate your son taking the time to honor me. I just feel like I'm really proud of him for straight up saying, and you know what? I do believe in you, Trevor Paul, and I will continue to believe in you. I'm not going to doubt you like Aaron did.
No, yeah. I welled up. When I heard, I did choke up when I heard his scholarship. That was
yeah, we're all like
that was the first thing I've been through with like something like that. And I'll never go through that because I don't have kids, so like that's horrible. I can't imagine as a parent, you know. And but again, you know, Trevor Paul, there's a lot of people that believe in him, and I'm sure he knows that.
Yeah, no, that was his humble way of looking at the coach and respectfully saying,
I think that was perfect. I really do.
Yeah,
I really do. I think he handled that way better than I would. Because I'm like, hey, what scholarship did your kid get? Because right. They got walk-ons
full
and
ride
stuff.
Scholarship.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe he should
D2
quit.
School.
But that means that when you do that, that means it's still bugging you. And the fact that he was able to do that at a high level and just say, I'm good, man.
Mm.
All it took is one guy to believe in me. That's it.
And what a promo, right? That's thinking on the fly.
And that guy, honestly, is Trevor Paul. His name's Trevor Paul. All it took was Trevor Paul believing in Trevor Paul.
Amen.
And now he's going to be a college man. I think that's amazing. And it's such a great story today because people need to be reminded that when you think it's done, it's just a new beginning. And that's all it is. And he didn't walk the senior walk. And he didn't get those things. But you know what? Now he can walk the graduation senior walk in college. So
sure. He
will get it back. You know, and that's the thing you got to tell everybody. You might lose something in the failure. And that's kind of by design.
Yeah, sometimes it's funny, right? How, like, in retrospect, and this can kind of be applied to anybody, is losses only seem like losses at the time because it's like a boat, right? You can only have so much weight and you gotta dump some stuff off, right? To be able to put some new stuff on and go in a different direction. And it's like seeming failures, you know, if they're dwelt with as failures and dwelled upon, that's what they're going to be. But if you see opportunity in failure, you know, even if it, in Trevor Paul's case, is the opportunity to react in a positive way, to say, you know what, I'm not going to get shook by this. I'm going to feel it. It's a blow, but I ain't going to let it knock me out, and I'm going to keep going. That's what he did, and look at how it turned out. So, again, testament to how he was raised and my talks with him.
No, and that's – you guys were the ones that, like, when this all happened and everything – he wanted you guys to know because he looks at you guys all as, you know, like surrogate uncles. And he knows when he comes to the shows, he feels your guys' love. So when all this happened, I that's why I didn't call you, Tyrus. I wanted to wait till I could directly tell you in front of everybody and be proud. I got to tell, you know, Aaron and Jeezy.
Wait, you told all those guys first?
Bro. They were right there when it happened.
So it pays. It pays to not have a real job. It's bullshit.
It also pays to have a real job too, right? As you're,
you know. Yeah, because I'll be able to fly and see his game. So
there you go. There you go.
True.
Private jet. Air Tyrus.
We're coming. Oh, I can get that app. I can watch all his games at home like my son.
Oh, the Game Changer app. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that thing.
That's a big deal, man.
The what?
That's the other thing, too. He's getting in. He's like, Dad, they're sponsored by this baseball company. I get new shoes. Like, it's the whole moment. Not just getting a chance to play ball, but you guys know what it's like. It's almost he's suiting up to play the big boy baseball. This isn't
You put him in position to play it out. You laid it out for him to play it out.
Yeah.
You know, and and as a father, this isn't about, if he graduate, this is about he took this first big step, and I think it's great given the fact that there was a moment that probably he thought about giving up.
Yeah. No, 100%. And it's a very proud moment as a father too, and hopefully this will help him in, you know, the next obstacles that he's going to see. Because you guys know as well as I do that it's just getting there. We always think it's the hardest to get there. Staying there tends to be just as hard. Right. And so he's got a whole new life ahead of him. I'm excited for his future. Not to mention, because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just as new to all of this as you are, son. I didn't go to college. I didn't do college visits. I didn't have coaches that were interested in playing me. You know what I mean? You're doing something I've never experienced ever. And I'm so proud of him, because that's the cool thing. As wrestlers, like my wife, she gets kind of upset because she's like, well, hey, let's go here. And I've already been there. And we've traveled and done so much and seen so much. And it's hard for us to do new things together. My son is going down a completely different path that I've never had. And I'm just really excited for him because I didn't get that opportunity. And I feel like I've done my job.
You have.
What happens after this is
your job is wisdom. Is you just listen and be like, well, this is how I would handle it, son. Take it, leave it, do what you want with it. You know, and but you've built that relationship.
That's incredible. Like, it's, again, to be witness to this, right? And I say, you know, kind of on the peripheral involved in it to a degree, like Tyrus and everything. And it's.
Oh, you boys have been a big part of his life.
When you told me he got that scholarship, like, and I kind of joked before, but no, like, and you were there. Like, I started to literally tear up because I'm like, this kid finally, like, because it does, it hurts to watch people you care about, especially, you know, kids. And then not that he's a kid, he's a young man, but he got screwed, right? No, like, whatever hand life dealt him wasn't the best one. And to take that, to overcome it, you know, in life, I think now, you know, we're at the end of high school, there's a lot of basic framework for who you are as a person. Am I right or wrong in that?
Nope, you're right.
So
you're 100%.
The basic framework of Trevor Paul has kind of already been displayed, and 90% of the battle's already won, you know? And look, we all make decisions that we wish we could kind of take back and things like that. But in terms of just what path he's on, I think he's definitely on the right one, and it's only getting brighter as we see.
100%. I think my son doesn't understand too is women is going to be his biggest issue, because gentlemen, you guys all know.
Don't worry. I'll talk to him about everything. I'll teach him everything I know.
please, boys, please. I've tried, you know, but sometimes, like we've all heard that advice from somebody and you're like, I just told you that. But when uncle tells you, it just seems to have more effect. He's a good looking kid that's grew up in a small town his whole life with all his friends. So they don't really see, you know, they don't see how good looking he is, but he's going to go out and he's going to go to college, innocent, pure hearted, good young man. And I'm just worried that there's a woman out there that's going to see him, latch on to him.
Well, I will let him babysit any one of my four kids for the weekend, and I'll clear that up.
That'll do it.
He needs to have the old. You know, I know you talked about the birds and the bees, but I need to talk to him about the vultures and the trees. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, so listen, what I don't care how we get to the goal, as long as we get to the goal, boss. Yeah. So
every young man shouldn't date until he's 30. Like, real talk. Like, here's the deal: if you are 22 years old and you're taking your girlfriend to, let's say, Chili's and a movie, right? And you work at fast food, right? You cannot afford to go out. You're wasting money trying to, because here's the thing. She's going to leave you for a guy who can pay for that every week.
Applebee's.
Yeah. Moves you up, or even worse, like a Perkins. You know what I'm saying? You're Denny's, and the next guy's Perkins.
Brought out Perkins.
Yeah. Because Perkins is a higher end Denny's.
With the muffins.
It's a great, it's a great quality meal. Yeah, it's phenomenal. The lemon meringue, I don't mind telling you. I'm a fan.
I'm a fan.
I love the lemon ring pie at Perkins, and it's great breakfast. It's a quality meal at a quality price. But there was a time that, you know, I
sponsors
was
needed.
Digging out the glove box so I could get my French burger melt, whatever the hell it was, on, you know, because we were broke. And then you end up dating a girl who, like, has her dad's credit card and his car. You think you're winning because you drive her car? No. You're not. You're not winning.
No, it's a big no.
Like, how many guys have you seen driving their girl's car with a baby seat in the back? They are losing.
Yep.
Like, it's like, get your own fellas.
Yep.
And you have to build your empire, because once it's built and you have it, then when you meet a woman, it's a completely different thing, because you are established. You can be a provider. You can be respected. And you'll be smart enough to know when you're being hoodwinked or tricked by a gold digger or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, again.
Well, and most likely by that age, you will want those same things in a woman.
Yep.
Jeezy, what's up, man? Been here the whole time, Jeezy? Just taking a nap?
Yeah, I've been here.
Damn,
Jeezy. What's going on, man? Hey, how you been?
Like, we're literally ending the show. Hey. Yeah, 40
he's
minutes
like
in.
He's like the guy on the couch.
Hey,
he's like
he was sitting there like, listen to them punk ass. I've been shot. You know what I'm saying? I was shot, still got my kids to daycare.
Yeah, you can't mess with me. I mean,
kick cancer's ass, and you all getting weepy because somebody getting a scholarship to play baseball, man. F*** y'all. Grow up.
Shaking his
not participating.
Shaking his head.
That's good shit right there.
You know what's funny, though? Like, if you look at this, right, like, why there's so much confusion and why we're even having this conversation, biologically, as humans, we are wired to start procreating at a certain age, because humans live to about, if you were 30 back in the day, you were an old man. Right?
I'd take it right now, to be honest with you.
Yeah. As
fucking tired. I'll be honest with you. I'll tap. Right. I'd tap at 38. Oh, I'm winning. I'm balling. Like,
well, sometimes life is too long for some people.
I've said that on many occasions. There should be a box with a red button. That's it. I'm out.
You know what? Yes. It's enough. Right?
And new. I'm out.
Maybe you have to unlock the button first, so you have to think about it. But then past that,
But you don't want the button around anybody.
No.
And to bring it back, and don't leave it around your girl, because you're one argument away from being done.
Oh,
like, I don't think it's working out. I'd like to. Oh, did you push the button? You motherfucker. And that's it.
And if there was a 10-second countdown, she'd get one last promo and, like, ha ha.
And she's just looking at you, counting down. Listen, I don't know how long your windpipe's going to hold up, but you're coming with me.
I've left everything to the fishes.
Yeah, like, for real. Ah, man. So you got to keep that button. But listen, man, what happens, what happens. I mean, hopefully your son doesn't. The only thing he comes away from college is hopefully a good education and a baseball career, and not a baby's mama.
Yes.
Like, that's the plan. No baby mama. And it's easy.
Yeah.
What you have to do is, you're like, listen, call Tyrus. Just give me 15 minutes with him, and I'll literally have him terrified of. He even thinks there's some estrogen around. He will run the other direction.
I'll
break out the government name, and you'll know how serious I am.
Yeah, you know,
I need you to have a talk.
Yeah, it's like, here's the thing. If he falls in love, great. I think he meets and college is a great place to meet your wife. You don't want to wait until you get out, because by then it's over. Like, if it's not your high school sweetheart, your college sweetheart, like, very rarely do you meet diamonds in the rough once you're out of, because you have to be established at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can meet, you can come up together in college and high school, but once you get out, you're in the real world and you're trying to scoop and score. Because, you know, guys, we always try to play in the league above us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can get away with that in college. Mm-hmm. because she might not know what she's worth yet. But once you get out in the real world and everyone has a job, and the first thing she says to you is, can I see a bank statement? You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's going to be,
you got to have your stuff together. You have men, you have to have your stuff together. You cannot have a woman supporting you. That relationship is doomed. It's just genetically, they're not designed to take care of it. Like, and again, I'm getting this thing where, like, I'm talking about alpha males. I'm not talking about some dude who's happy driving around his girl's car. Like, and we knew a lot of those guys in college. You know, like, there's
still a lot of guys now.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys now.
That's
like,
clowns right there.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we want our sons to be anti clowns. And we want our daughters not to date clowns.
Yeah.
So,
and by alpha male, yeah, like, that's the thing to where, like, now masculinity has this weird kind of sour taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Well, for you, it's always been a challenge, yes.
Well, no, because you know what? I radiate to all sexes.
Oh,
I mean, again, it's a shame that this isn't a video podcast, hey, so you could,
yeah,
listen, you could actually listen. See. But that's okay, because I, you know what? I'm secure enough in my masculinity that that's what.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a whole lot to secure, so it's.
Hey.
He's keeping a little box right there. Listen, I will never forget.
I think outside the box. I operate outside the box.
You do. You.
I've always called.
You have always been very Liberace-ian in your
Liberace. You just invented a word. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, Liberace was a genius.
He was a man.
He was a genius.
When she first met you, Aaron.
He had a whole book on the women he dated. And it was none of
well,
them.
That's,
it was like that's how good he was.
It was a beard. It was a beard.
America didn't want to believe. What everyone can clearly see.
It was there. Yep.
It was there.
Hold it right there. We'll be back in a bit.
Like I said, I think he's got a good head on his shoulders. I think he's got a good family. He's not going to be that far away. So, you know, he'll bring her home to dinner, you know, and all that good stuff. And I think the biggest thing is if he goes through a heartbreak, and has your son had has he, because you're not a man until you get your heart broke, first of all. You got to get your heart broke.
Yeah, no, he hasn't had it yet.
He hasn't had it yet. Okay.
Women.
So he hasn't graduated yet.
Not.
Okay, so he's going to go to college.
No.
He's going to meet a girl who's like a junior, and she's going to break his heart. Million pieces.
Yep.
Keep a piece of it in her purse to where every time she walks by him, she squeezes it so he gets that little hurt in his chest and tries to act cool. Not speaking from experience at all, but I'm just saying, like, you know, for me it was high school. My heart, I know exactly when my heart got broke. It was in high school, and it was a girl named Lisa Klein that I had the biggest crush on, and I finally got enough nerve to ask her out, and she took me to, it was the night's dance where the girls asked the guys to the dance.
Oh.
So I got asked to dance by a girl, a pretty girl. And I was like, damn. Like, after my football game, I was so excited to go. I didn't even wipe the black marks off my face. Like, I was ready to go. Like, ran in, took the fastest shower ever, got dressed. I didn't have a car. So this is, listen, Trevor Paul, I didn't have a car. She picked me up in her truck after the football game and took me to the dance. And we went and were dancing. I'm with my friends, and, like, I had never had a date. So my friends always thought, because whenever girls would come around me, I would say some dumb trying to be funny and just piss them off. So I was not what you would call dateable. It was like, they're like, oh, he's just a big smartass. And I hadn't quite grown into the handsome, rugged man I am today. A little bit of, you know what I'm saying? Like, a little Frankenstein look. You know, it's like, I'm okay with that.
We all had to.
Yeah, I wouldn't know anything about that. I've always
you've been beautiful your whole life. Yeah, whatever.
I have. And that has its challenges, too. We can talk about that next week.
But I went to the dance, and she gave me my first kiss, right? And it was the... It was greatness, but the problem was it was a French kiss. So, like, I thought,
hey,
we're getting married.
Oh,
like, I went home that night, and my mom and her, I wouldn't talk to Craig's ass for anything, but they were already asleep, and they had a friend named Richard who was at the house. Cool Mexican dude who was like a Giants fan, and for a little while he was so cool, I was even liking the Giants because this dude was so cool. And he waited up for me. Everyone's like, they had a party, and you know, the people who hang out in the 70s, they all had, like, sleepover parties. Like, they had all their friends over and stuff. And he was waiting up for me. He came to the door, and I was, like, floating. I remember I was floating. I was just floating, like, woo-hoo, woo-hoo. And he's like, what happened? And I was like, man, I'm in love, man. And she took a date, and we had a kiss. And she kissed me, like, you know, like in the movies kiss. And he was like, and he was talking about, how did you feel? And, like, isn't it good? And he had too much to drink, but he was, like, in that lovey mood, you know, like, and, like, this is first, like, this is beautiful, man. This is, you got to hold on.
He was shining you up.
Oh, man, he had me on cloud
57. That's cool.
Hell yeah. I went to school, but, like, I had background music. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought about sitting on top of the bus.
Yeah.
Like, standing on the bus riding to school like a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and I get there looking for my girlfriend or whatever, and I hadn't discussed it with her yet that she was my girlfriend. I just assumed because we, you know, made out, as they call it, that I was good. Like, this was, it's like, I'm going to introduce you to my mom when I have her for dinner and this, that, whatever. So I brought my second jersey to school to give to her because that's the ultimate commitment. That's the wedding ring in high school is she wears your jersey.
How big of a woman was she? I mean, because your jersey, I'm
okay, first of all, you f***ed up my story. Okay? GZ, cancel this motherfucker. Like, this is the type of, this is why you're not allowed to talk about anything with emotions or women because you say dumb shit like that. The jersey, the bigger the athlete, the more she ties it in a knot, Aaron. Okay,
these are the questions people want to know.
My last name is on their back.
These are the questions
they want. The big. If you date a monster and I had a medium shirt, then that's a whole other issue, Aaron. Okay, I had a 2X jersey.
I asked the tough questions.
I'm
please proceed.
I'm bigger than you know what.
I want to know how the story ends. No, sorry. I was just trying to get a visual.
You don't even deserve. Like, mute him.
Viewers do. I'll hit the cough button.
Mute his ass? We got to need you. This is why he's not allowed in studio. So,
Kate revoked my
pass. I'm looking for her everywhere. I can't find her anywhere. She took the day off of school or something like that. Fine. No big deal. Saw her a couple times in the quad, wrote her a letter. You know, this is when you fold the letter all fancy, hand it to her.
Yep.
And she wrote me a letter back, and it was of the adult nature. Like, she was like, because, you know, back then, people said stupid like George of the Jungle. They thought that was because, you know, whatever. Apparently, my government name might have been George back then.
Me. Check this box.
Yeah, and hers was of the adult caliber. And I was like, I didn't even understand some of it. I had to go over to my boy, who we knew was a and Ralph, because Ralph was dating girls in college. Like, Ralph was a baller. So we went to Ralph, and Ralph broke it down for me. And I was like,
had a mustache in high school.
He did.
Too,
he did. He had a high top fade. Like, he looked like the Fresh Prince of Bel Air, but sprinkle a little Puerto Rican in there and a mustache. You got Ralph.
There you go.
We called him the Gooch. Yep. Like, that was his nickname. He was the Gooch from
Different Strokes.
Different Strokes, yeah. He was, and he would do this thing where he'd go, I'm the Gooch. And we thought he was cool. So I went to him. Anyways, eventually I found her, gave her my jersey. She wore it on a Friday at the game, kept looking, saw her in my jersey. And I was on cloud 9. And then about a week later, it was the same time the season was ending. We were in the playoffs and all that stuff. And she didn't have my jersey on a Friday. She had on another jacket.
Oh.
And it was a Letterman jacket. From a baseball player. And I was like, oh, cool. She's wearing her brother's jacket. And walked up to her and was like, hey, there's a party after the game tonight. Did you want to go? And she looked at me and she said, no. And I was like, okay. Do you have my jersey? She's like, I gave it to my friend and she had a note for you. Did you not get it? And I was like, oh no, you can't go to the game or anything. She was like, just read the note. And I was like, okay, babe. All right. And
all right, babe.
Ran into my friend at math class, handed me the note. And I had been dumped for a baseball player. And she's like, I'm not your girlfriend. We kissed once and it wasn't even that good. You're goofy and no one likes goofy. And I was like,
oh no, she actually said that?
Yeah.
That's horrible, man.
I just looked at it. I'm staring at the note and everyone thought a plane crashed because it was this loud boom. And that was my heart just shattered
in
a million pieces. And I just remember walking to the bus just wanting to like that cry, like just walking, and the kids that normally would say something to me and I'd bag on them back, they'd be like, hey, light bright, whatever, and just sat down because I didn't realize she also took my little manhood, what was little of it, and got a cheese grater and just grated it all over my broken heart. And just got home, sat down, and my mom, it was one of the coolest things she ever did. She said, you want some cookies and milk? And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, what's wrong? I was like, girls are stupid. And she's like, no, they're whores. And she's doing you a favor because you probably have a baby. And you know what happens if you have a baby? I cut it off. And I was like, Oh, okay. And so
I'm going to go hit the mute button so I don't have any outbursts.
But so that was it. And I had to see her at school. And she broke up with a baseball player, and he was the same boat. And then she was with this old guy with, like, well, old guy means he was out of high school, but he had a car. Because I had to walk by her. That was the cool part. I had to walk by her. It's like once she broke my heart and dissed me. And here's the cool part. She didn't keep it between us. She, like, told all the girls in school I didn't know how to kiss. She was like, he was goofy. I was trying to let him go to second base, and he's an idiot. Like, I was terrified. I didn't know what to do. Like, every dream I had and experience-wise, I was always too big. So, not Aaron, because you were small and feeble. Trevor, you were a masculine man. Jeezy, even though you're short, you're still a masculine man. Like, I had that dream where, like, I was too big. Like, the legs couldn't go wide enough for me because I was just too big. Like, just, like, you think of the weird stuff because you can only dream about what you experience. So if you've never had it, if you're a virgin and you're thinking about, and you've only time you ever interact with a woman is literally saying a hi or one kiss, your dreams about you having sex with them or being with them, you're not going to see it because you didn't do it. Because your brain can only
just imagination. You engage the imagination.
Yes, but if you don't have a reference point, and first of all, if you're watching Cinemax After Dark, you think all sex is through the navel. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
catching a Playboy or something.
Yeah, it's like
maybe a random Playboy.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
Vice Channel.
That came later.
When it's all scrambled up,
those
and
already
you're trying
established.
To see,
like, I'm talking before you get your life is ruined. Like, soft porn's okay. Once you see the hardcore stuff, you are ruined. First of all, it gives you a horrible opinion of what women are because real women aren't like that. And if they are, run because it's denied for us to be that way and for them to stop us and straighten us out. Like, literally, that's what it is. But no, it was not the gross stuff. I had not seen that stuff because all my friends were athletes with parents. So nobody was getting down back then. It was like we had one kid who had tapes.
I've seen this stuff.
We had one kid who had tapes and magazines. But no, none of us hung out with him.
I've lived a life.
I seen this stuff early, man. Nina Hartley. Oh my goodness.
Oh yeah. Moment of silence for Nina Hartley.
What?
Oh, wow.
Did she pass?
No, I just wanted to see how much you watched her, you pervert. All of you. Disgusting.
No, I mean,
you know what? Thanks, Aaron. The only time Aaron cared, he didn't care about Trevor's son getting a scholarship. He didn't care about my heart getting broken.
No.
But you said Nina Hartley.
She was a congresswoman. I'm sorry. A member of parliament in Canada. She was a very, very trusted member of parliament in Canada. And
she did a lot for the great white North. She had the greatest butt ever and. Yes, it is.
Oh, she's also an adult film actress?
It should be, yes.
Keep the safe search on. People.
Hey, if you're going to Google her, keep the safe search on.
I don't watch those kind of movies.
You literally yelled out. You thought she passed. You literally, when did this happen? When did this happen? There's no alert on my phone. Yes. That's an older picture. Be careful. That rabbit hole you're going into is not safe. There's some briar patches in there. All right, for more podcasts like this, just like this, you can FoxNews.com podcast. That's not it. I'm f***ed up right now. All right, here, one more time. For more podcasts like this, just like this, you can catch us at FoxNewsPodcast.com. I'm not saying my name to attach to any of this because it started out beautiful and Aaron made it dirty. So
congratulations, Trevor Paul. We're all very proud of you.
And Nina Hartley, wherever you are, thank you for your service.
Listen ad-free with Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
Guy Benson, join me weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern as we break down the biggest stories of the day with some of the biggest newsmakers and guests. Listen live on the Fox News app or get the free podcast at GuyBensonShow.com.